Good morning, late early afternoon, everybody. It is me, Angie Atkinson. I'm here today with my lovely and talented fellow coach from queenbeing.com, Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you. Hello. Good morning.
Always happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about this amazing group coaching program you've been working on.
Oh, well, we have several group coaching options that have been going on for several months now. They range in topics, but they're all related to healing and recovery and evolving. So it just depends where a person is in their recovery. People choose different groups, and we have a messenger chat that goes with them. And basically, what's happening is this amazing community is being formed within these groups, and people are having the chance to feel like love and acceptance from one another while they're healing. And it's amazing. So,
Yeah, I've had a lot of really great feedback from it. So if y'all are interested, just reach out to Lise or go check it out at Life Makeover Academy, Queen Being, or just tag Lise in the span group and she'll help you find all the information you need. Anyway, and it's a lot less expensive than individual coaching, which is huge, I think. And still you get that personal attention. So, and a new kind of support. Lise does videos over on Life Makeover TV, which is one of Queen, it's a Queen Being thing she works with for Life Makeover Academy, Life Makeover TV, right here on YouTube. William, hello. He says, my narcissist family is trying to reach out to me on Facebook. Okay, well, you know you can block them if you want to go no contact. Lise, do you have any thoughts about a narcissist family on Facebook?
Block them or unfollow them. If you don't want to block, just unfollow and you don't have to reply.
Yeah, and you can also set them up as a restricted person so they only see whatever you post publicly. Something else to think about if you don't want to go full on blocking. And you could also disable messages for them. You know, you could make it so they can't, like if you go into Messenger under their name, you can actually set it so they can't message you directly. Julia Rose says she's learned about boundaries. Yes. What a godsend, right? Lisa, boundary setting, right? It is one of the biggest pieces of recovery. What is your best tip on boundary setting? Let's start with
Oh
that.
my goodness. To realize it's going to be uncomfortable when you start setting them, that
Yes.
you're going to make people irritated. It's okay. That's people are used to you doing everything you want or everything they want rather. And so as you set boundaries, it's okay. It's okay. Just be uncomfortable.
Push through that discomfort. Absolutely with you on that. Yeah. Margaret says, why do narcissists keep reaching out? Well, honey, that's called the Hoover. They want to suck you back in. Whether they want you, like if it's a romantic situation, if they want you in the relationship, you know, to cut, you know, if they want you to come back to the relationship, then it's a much more obvious thing. They're trying to, you know, woo you and get your attention and stuff like this. But sometimes it's a little less obvious. Sometimes they just kind of want to like get your attention so that they know they have it if they need it. Or sometimes they want to cause drama with you because they love the feeling of drama. And if you, throughout your relationship, especially as it got less and less pleasant toward the end, you may have developed a sort of fighting style or resistance style that they couldn't get enough of. So if you cried, they might have liked it when you cried or whatever. And so if you stop, you gray rock, you don't give them your attention or I say your emotions, especially. Don't give them any emotion at all. Not happy, not sad. Just okay. That's pretty interesting. Whatever, you know, just give them something basic, and that will really kind of slow them down from trying to suck you back in. But it's just all about the circle of supply. Lise, what are your thoughts?
Exactly. It's a circle of supply, and the fact that they don't, they never let go because to them we're objects. They own us. They're not going to let go of what they own basically forever if they can. So that's why, I mean, no contact is up to us almost always.
Happy Silence says, why does blocking and no contact hurt so bad? The narcissist is my mom. Okay, I can relate to this personally, and I think Lise can too. I'm just gonna give you a couple of things. Number one, there's a trauma bonding factor. So it's not the same kind of factor as it is when you're talking about a romantic relationship, but it's a different kind because A, you've known this woman your whole life, obviously, and B, there's this part of us that still wants our mommy to love us, and it sucks. And this part is the part we have to work with now, right? So our logical self knows that lady's toxic and she has to be out of my life. But our little inner child that still wants her to love us is like, what the hell are you doing? Right? So you have to kind of figure out a way to, that's another cognitive dissonance kind of issue. You have to figure out a way to kind of help your inner child understand why your logical mind is trying to protect you in this way. It's almost a self-reparenting process. Basically, the same part of your brain that's affected by like drug addiction or alcohol addiction or gambling addiction or whatever is triggered by your relationship with your mother. So when you have the few positive interactions you have, that's like intermittent reinforcement. It's little crumbs of approval or validation, which mm-hmm. of course are quickly swept away when you look at them the wrong way or whatever. But that we're always, for our whole lives, we're trying to kind of get those little crumbs of validation. And that's why we stick around. But when we go no contact, we have this huge guilt and obligation issue. But you know, for me, a shocking event caused, I literally almost felt it physically break inside of me, the cord of obligation that I had for this person. So I got lucky. But I still know, and I'm talking about my toxic parent here, but I still know that the pain of letting go, it still comes back and it would still hit me and it would still, little things would trigger it. And it's difficult, but it's totally worth working through it, because once you get past the pain part, then the rest of it, suddenly it's open. In my case, I felt the relief almost instantly because of the years of, I want to say, like, oppression and mm-hmm. control. You know, Lise, what are your thoughts on this? I know you have some good ideas.
No, it's good. I think what you're saying is so great. And that to go further on with that same theme, I would say that the self-care that you put into yourself at this point is what makes it be less difficult too. If you don't have that like really cathartic moment that Angie's yeah. talking about, where you have like some shocking thing happen and it's mm-hmm. not, if that doesn't happen, then self-care and learning to give yourself what it is you need. So if you're listening to the pain mm-hmm. and you actually listen to the pain and you hear what you're telling yourself, then you give yeah. yourself that to yourself and you don't need the approval of that parent anymore.
Right.
Over time.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's a process. You had how many years going into this, like Angie was saying, and now we got to work our way back out the other end and yeah. and thrive. You can do it.
The thing is, you really can do it. And
you totally can. Yeah.
Yeah. In my situation, I've done it. And today I'm mentally healthier than I've probably ever been in my whole life. So that's something right there, right. You know, and a lot of other things. But Katie says, me too. I just left him after 4 years and he's trying to ruin my life. The only reason I have to talk to him is because we have a daughter together. I think I'm going to fight for full custody. Excuse me. Katie, if that's something that you think is a feasible option, absolutely fight for full custody. But maybe it might not be as hard as you think. I know with my ex-husband, you know, he initially gave a little resistance to me having full custody, but it was quickly ended when I told the judge exactly what I was dealing with. But Lise, do you have any thoughts for Katie about having, you know, her ex trying, or soon to be ex, trying to ruin her life, and she's only having to talk to them because of the daughter together? Let me say one thing. I would say this, Katie, when you are dealing with him, literally only talk to him about your daughter and about the business of raising her. And then of course the divorce business until it's over. And other than that, no emotion, no nothing. Okay, Lise, sorry, go ahead.
Do you have any thoughts? Exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. Because anything you give is going to lead to drama. Anything yeah. you give. So, I mean, really basic, and understand that a lot of this stuff, if he's asking questions, he doesn't actually need to know about your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, is she taking naps? I mean, who cares, right? That's the things that are yeah. that seem really irrelevant. You don't need to answer those either. Just basic
right.
need to know only about yeah. anything. And even the divorce stuff, if you have an attorney, let them handle it.
Agreed. I agree. Yeah. Yep. Mary Mitchell, hello from Texas. Hello. She says she's from Texas. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Nicole. Hello, Nicole Angelina. How are you? Long time no see, girl. D-Rose says, I'm weak every single time my ex-girlfriend reaches out to me. I have her blocked except for on email. She says she is so happy with her new person, yet when she comes calling, I always respond. Oh, honey. Lise, I'm going to let you jump with this one because I know that you have dealt with several clients with a similar situation, haven't you?
Where it's like the Hoover constantly happening. Is this what, yeah, I'm reading, what I'm understanding? Yeah.
Yeah. An ex-girlfriend, he only has her, he has her blocked everywhere but on email. And she says she's so happy with her new person, but when she okay. comes calling, I always respond.
Okay. Well, they do this. And so if you can block the email, block the email. If there's any reason you need to not block the email, don't read it. You know, make sure you're ready when you read it. Don't just like randomly read it and reply right away. Remember, email, you don't have to answer right away. That's the beauty of email. So, but don't, if you can block them, block her, because every time you have exposure to her, you're it's like poisoning yourself with the toxicity, and then the trauma bond is amplified.
Like then you have time to go back to, it's like if you're an alcoholic and you haven't had a drink in 8 weeks and then you have one drink, it's almost like you have to start all over again.
Right. And even smelling a drink is bad. Yeah,
exactly. Don't smell her.
Right. And don't smell her. And she's not happy. She's in the middle of a love bomb. That's all it is.
And it will pass and it will go back to. Yeah.
He'll be sobbing in a few weeks or months.
And she comes calling because she wants attention. Right. So if you continue to give her the attention, she will continue to come calling. I suggest if you can block her on email that you do.
Right.
And I suggest that you don't give her that attention. Don't respond when she does come calling.
Right. That would help. You gotta remember, like, a Hoover is never a compliment. That's a good phrase to remember. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Dentist, let me know a little more of what you mean. Dentist says, I came across this extreme empathy. I doubt it may be attention seeking. How to find? I need more information so I can answer that. Let's see. Stacy says, yes, live. Yes. Yes, more live streams, says Care Bear. Carla C says, my narcissist dad is not accepting me. And thank you guys for sharing that. Carla C says, my narcissist dad is not accepting me, distancing myself. He makes me feel bad because he says I'm not letting my kids have a relationship with their grandpa. I don't know what to do because I love mine. Okay, Carla, let's talk about this. So if your father is in some way a good grandfather for your children, you don't fear for their safety, mentally, physically, or otherwise, then you can kind of treat him like a parallel parent would be treated. So let the kids visit with him and just only talk to him about the kids and then, you know, nothing else, no emotion, no BS, just, okay, the kids love the grandpa needs the kid, you know, we don't really care if the grandpa needs the kids, but the kids need the grandpa, so this is how it's going to be. Now, if you are in any way worried about their physical or emotional safety, then you just have to go no contact completely. It's not, you know, you can distance yourself without his permission. You are the one who gets to decide if that means that you don't answer the phone, if that means that you don't answer the door. If he shows up, then you do that. Right? Sorry. Lise, thoughts?
Thoughts on that are you have a right to your own life. You don't have to feel guilty for somebody else guilting you in that way. Because, I mean, if he's toxic to you, then you have to set boundaries. And and you got to trust that the boundaries you put in place are there for your own good and your children's safety or your children's good, you know, well-being. And it's a matter of building your self-worth, I think, at that point, so that you can believe in yourself and not believe in his guilt trip.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yep. Okay. Samara says, you changed my life, Angie. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. And I love to hear that. It makes my day. Thank you. Karina says, hi, Lise.
Hi.
Shelly Taylor, hello. And Heather Joyner says, I'm working, but I'm listening to you. Well, Heather, that is awesome. I hope you're having an amazing work day. Mo Cowboy says, yes, more live streams. He says, I have no life. I'm not doing the victim thingy. I'm just facing reality. Oh, yeah. It is a process. And listen, I just want to say this to you, Mo Cowboy. It's okay if you have a down day where you don't feel like, you know, Superman, but I'm with you. I like that you're not doing the victim thingy. I like the survivor thingy much better and moving into thriver. So you're awesome. Lise, any thoughts for Mo Cowboy?
Reed, I lost the track of what, when I can't see them.
Oh yeah.
He kicks in and I'm like, what?
I understand. He says he's not doing the victim thingy.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah. You know, once you understand what's happened, you no longer are a victim. You get to be a survivor at that point. And then we move in through it, like Angie said, into thriving. So
exactly.
It's keep a good going. Thing. Keep going.
Yes. Keep going. Okay. Patty. Hello. Patty is one of our awesome YouTube sponsors. She says, hello. Yay. I caught you live. I've watched so many of your videos. They are so helpful. Our situation is so difficult. One day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. All true. I mean, thank you for saying my videos are helpful, but all of your points are true as far as your our situation being so difficult. I mean, thankfully I'm past the abuse part at this point. And I'm past the, you know, I think I'm in late recovery, you know, cause I think you're always in recovery. Right. But certainly, one day at a time and 1 hour at a time can be life-saving for us, you know, even now. Yeah. Oh, this is a great question. Stacy says, setting boundaries with porn realistically. I mean, that's a personal choice, but I know that there is a large percentage of, there are a lot of narcissists who find themselves porn addicted. And that's, unfortunately, if you have a porn addiction situation, setting boundaries may not work. They may need to go and get some real help. And in order to get real help, they would have to acknowledge that there's a real problem. So that can be difficult. But, you know, as you move forward, you know, I think it's almost unrealistic to say that no porn is allowed, you know, for a person if you're not with them. Because, not because I agree with porn, but because I know that you can't control a person who's not next to you 24/7. And why would you want to? So I guess my setting boundaries would be, you know, if you don't want it in your bedroom, you know, or you don't want it in your sex life or whatever. I'm not really sure what you're asking, I guess. Give me some more information, Stacy. And Lise, do you have any thoughts on this in general?
In general, I don't know how you can set boundaries with a narcissist anyway. For anything, because any boundary you set, they're going to find a way to either push past it or covertly push past it, which is almost worse.
Right. And if you're talking about a new person who you're in a new relationship with that isn't a narcissist, then it might be a little easier, but even so, you know, you can't really tell someone what to do when you're not with them. I mean, you can ask them, but unless you trust, in our society, the crap comes up on people's phones. You have no control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can, let me just say this, get to know a person really, really well before you jump into a long-term commitment with anybody. And that would be a good starting point.
Right.
But if you have other details for us, Stacy, let us know and we'll try to get to them before we have to rush off. Hello, James F. Welcome back. James F., also one of my awesome sponsors and also one of our mod squatters. Thank you for being here, my friend. He says TGIF fuss show. Okay. Chronic Hippie says, I'm making plans to move out and narcissist mother has this idea that I have to follow her exact plans to live in a modular house on our property, which isn't really moving out. How do I handle these talks? Okay. I'm going to teach you a new technique, my friend. Watch this. Smile and nod, and then just do whatever the hell you want. You're a grown-up, right? And if that's the case, you don't need to live in a modular home on the property unless you want to save a whole bunch of money on rent. You know, I mean, think about your options. Think about the capabilities that you have with your current, you know, income and what you can grow into from there. And that's what I would say. Lise, thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just that at a certain point, it has to be okay to live your own life. And you have to decide that it's okay to live your own life and smile and nod and do whatever the hell you want anyway, like Angie said.
Yeah. You're a grown up.
Grown up.
Yeah. With you. Okay. All right. And let's see here. But during the talks, just agree and just either smile and nod or great rock, whatever. Do a lot of that vague thing, you know, did you look at those modular homes I sent you on YouTube or whatever? And just be like, oh yeah, I'll get around to that. And then wander off and do something else, you know, because not giving her direct, don't commit to anything you don't want to do. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Maria Calloway. Hello. Hello. She says, hello. I just joined. Thank you, Maria. She says, I am doing 100% better. Life is great. You can recover and live your best life. Yes. You absolutely can. Yes, Maria. Thank you so much. Mo Cowboy says, thus my need for a life makeover. Indeed. We feel you on that.
We understand.
Yes, we do. All right. Beg and Bark Pet sitting in the house. Hey. AB from the UK in the house. Hello. Life's Revival, one of our awesome sponsors, says, I continually blame myself for not knowing or seeing what was going on behind my back. How do I stop that? And then, yes, please do more live videos. Love them. Thank you. Or miss them, she says. Okay. I continually, oh yeah, I did that too. Where I was constantly like, what is wrong with me? I understand people better than most people. Why did it take me so long to say this? I get it.
Right.
And as far as for stuff going behind your back, my gosh, I mean, to live in the world and be constantly hypervigilant and stressed out about your person that you're with in a relationship is incredibly exhausting, physically, mentally, and otherwise. So maybe you were just trying to give yourself some peace, but also you can't know what was going on behind your back most of the time. I mean, you might have a sense of it, or you might think maybe it's happening, but you don't know for sure. And so like, I like to use that quote by Maya Angelou. And she says something like, you can't, something about, you can't beat yourself up for not knowing what you didn't know when you didn't know it,
right.
You know, because you can't. I mean, and I want to just add this because I know Life's Revival, you're very intelligent, and most of my followers tend to be very intelligent. And one of the things I know about intelligent people is that we can be gaslighted just like everybody else. And even though we think we should have known it, we should have seen it, because in hindsight, we 100% see it, right? During the act of gaslighting, that's what makes it so effective. It's very pervasive and sneaky. And even though intelligent people might go, that's a little off, something in us, usually love or respect or whatever, makes us gloss over stuff, you know, and tolerate stuff we normally wouldn't. And then this very, very subtly leads us into becoming codependent, or remaining codependent if we came out of a toxic family. So, Lise, thoughts?
The other piece to that, what you're talking about right there, is that you're groomed into the experience. You're not just going along one day, everything's perfect, and then wham, people are doing things behind your back. A narc is, you know, betraying you or whatever. They groom you so slowly that you don't see it coming. So that slow grooming, it's like putting blinders on us slowly to where all we see is, and then when the gaslighting hits, once you're groomed, you get swept away and everything flips sideways and backwards and upside down and you get lost. And forgiving yourself is so important. We don't get to forgive them, but forgiving yourself is for not knowing what you didn't know. That's it.
Important. That was the quote, forgive yourself, not don't beat yourself up. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And both of those things are true. Right. Forgive yourself and don't beat yourself up. All right. All right. Chronic Hippie, back to talking about his mom or her mom, I think. I'm sorry, I can't really see your photo very well. And that's kind of an androgynous name. I apologize if I called you the wrong sex. Says that mom tends to get really reactive emotionally, which I think is pretty common. So here are a couple of tips for that. Number one, don't look her in her eyeballs, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you look her right in the eyes, she's going to catch you. And somehow there's an energy there that you can break if you look above her on her forehead or on her nose, even at her mouth. Mm-hmm. I used to look at the mouth, and I can now read people through their mouth in crazy, crazy accurate ways.
Same.
So, yeah, you know?
Yeah, I do.
So, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's a bad way that we learned it, but it's fine. My point is, don't look her in the eyes. And if you have to, literally, like, pump yourself up before one of these conversations, and like listen to some music that makes you feel like a badass or whatever. There's this one song by Limp Bizkit called My Way or the Highway, or My Way. It's called My Way. Listen to that song for real. I know it sounds like, but it's really powerful. It's really good. But anyway, my point is to just don't give her your emotions. Let her do her thing. Look at her and see what she's doing. She's manipulating you. Every time she reactively emotes at you, it's a manipulation tactic designed to get you to feel bad and do what you want, or feel scared or whatever and do what she wants. Yeah, Lise, thoughts?
Exactly. It's all manipulation. So you can see, if you logically know that her emotions are not the same as your emotions, when you're crying and upset, you're crying and upset. When she's crying and upset, she's trying to get something.
Yeah.
It's manipulation. So
yeah,
knowing that can just help. It can help a lot. And not looking at her, gray rocking as much as you can, saying things like, oh, yeah, I understand. I hear you. Yeah. You know, like, so she feels heard, but what are you going to do with that? You know, that's it. I hear
right.
you.
Yeah. Right. Totally. Yeah. Michelle, the chat should not show up at all for someone Googling your name. But what I do is I actually unlist these after the fact. So it probably won't stay, the entire chat won't stay live. If there are any particular points that we are, you know, that I remember that we made, and then I might go back and make a video out of that point, but that would not include the chat at all. That would be a whole new video. So the whole, the overarching chat would not be searchable on Google or whatever. So I think it would only be found with my name and maybe Lisa's name. I don't think it would ever be having, I don't think you would ever see a, I've never seen a comment or name show up in a Google search. So if that helps. Okay. Manda says, I'm living with my mom's friend, and they let her move in, and he's 30 years older than me and tries to control everything I do, and I don't know how to stop it. Lise, thoughts for Manda?
She's living with her mom's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
they let the mom's friend allowed. Oh, wait. Okay. Her mom's friend let her ex move in.
Oh.
And he's 30 years older than me and tries to control everything I do. And I don't know. So like, he's trying to act like he's her father, but he's not. She doesn't know how to deal with it.
And this is her ex?
Her mom's ex. Okay, yeah.
Her mom's friend. Wow, that's confusing to me.
It is.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
My first thought is start searching for somewhere else to live. Yeah. To, you know, see where your resources are for that. If you can't do that, boundaries, lots and lots and lots of boundaries, knowing what it is that you're willing to tolerate and what you're not, and just sticking firm with it.
Yeah.
Control is awful. And to live in control is very abusive. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Kat, hello. Cindy Crawford, hello. Hot Mess Mom, hello. Michelle, I already got that one. Okay. Spartan Phoenix says, I appreciate the live streams very much. Sometimes I can't be present, but I go back. Maybe some more live chats on varying times of days. But what you do is amazing. Thank you. And I'm picking up what you're putting down. Oh, and I don't know if I mentioned this already, but Lise and I, we try to cover morning and evening. I can't lie and say I've been on lately, but we're working toward that. But Lise over on Life Makeover TV, she does live streams. What, how many nights a week, Lise?
I've been doing Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:30 Pacific. So that's 6:30 Central.
Okay.
And then I missed yesterday because I had a technical issue with my internet, but I'm hoping that I can fix it today. And if not, I'm going to go on with my phone. So I may try and go on this evening. I haven't looked at my calendar yet, but Otherwise Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So make sure you're subscribed to Life Makeover TV so you get notified when Lise goes live. And also, if you're in the spam group, she posts there as well. And do you post in any other groups besides the main spam group, Lise?
The bees, mostly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bees. Yeah. So go to queenbeing.com/group-support or queenbeing.com/span to find a list of our groups that we have available. Okay. Dawn says, hi, I just jumped on. Is there help for the narcissist? Can they get better? Girl, I've done so many videos on this.
No,
ma'am. I mean, well, that's not true. Okay. In theory, I think they could get better. And the way I think they would have to do that is to go to deep, deep psychological therapy. They would have to go to therapy, and they would have to be willing to work the therapy, willing to admit something was wrong, and willing to dig in and find their core wound, address it, and resolve it. And then maybe. Also, they'd have to learn empathy. But I've never seen it done successfully ever, ever, ever. And I've done a lot of research. I've met clients, wives of one doctor who claims to fix narcissists. They never get fixed. But you never know what might happen. Lise, thoughts?
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree. But there's no empathy. The part of the brain that needs to fire where there's empathy does not fire. And they've proven this. And now, of course, we don't know if someone is truly NPD or not. We just know they have narcissistic traits unless they're actually diagnosed.
Correct. So, and we don't diagnose.
And we don't diagnose. And most likely they'll never be diagnosed. Because most likely, even if they take a test, they're going to lie on it. So
yeah. And when they do get diagnosed, usually it's a legal issue.
Right.
Like they were in prison and they were forced to go to therapy. Or sometimes because their wife or husband drove them to therapy. And every now and then you'll actually get a therapist who knows about NPD and NPD abuse.
Right.
But I know there are a few. But
they get more covert is what I've seen happen.
Yes.
They learn social skills to cover up the fact that they don't actually feel empathy.
Yeah.
And they become more covert, which is the most painful thing.
Yeah. And they're so, yeah. And they're so good at fooling therapists.
Right.
Which sucks, but I've seen it a lot. And then you get then the therapist ends up blaming the victim instead of the person who's actually causing the trouble. And then it's just really unhealthy. So you have to be really careful. Be really careful and don't just assume anything. Eric King says, what to do when they continue hoovering and my family is far away. I'm alone. Okay. Eric, this is a difficult one, but what you need to do is start building up some other types of support and still gray rock and block and don't give them your attention and your energy. But Lise, I know, has some great tips on this. What are your thoughts?
Start focusing as much as you can on yourself and your own life. The hoovers are going to hurt. They're going to do what hoovers do to you. They're going to cause anxiety, most likely. If you really want them to stop, they're going to cause a ton of anxiety, maybe depression, that kind of thing. So learn skills like mindfulness and get some exercise. Do anything you can to lower your anxiety level, like on the whole. Really focus on your own healing and your friendships and your things that bring you joy. And so that way they only take up this much of your life instead of your entire day.
Yeah. And
because we can't make anybody stop unless you get a restraining order. And if you have the ability to do that, I would do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Let's see here. Maria Calloway says, I followed your advice. I'm doing well. I got past all the toxic experiences and people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is amazing. And I want you to know, Maria, that you're literally validating my entire life's mission. So thank you. let's see. And Lisa, I think Lisa's on a similar mission. So, Cassandra Rhodes says your forum has saved me. Well, that means the world to both of us, because Lisa is basically my co-parent in that forum. if we were the parents of the forum, she'd be the mom and I'd be the dad, or vice versa. Okay. anyway. So thank you. And Bagan Bark says, to life's revival, it takes time to reject that thought. Don't blame yourself. And this is what I love so much about this community. First of all, you're spot on that. It does take time to reject that thought. That was the one about feeling like, you know, guilty and shameful about not having seen it while it was happening or whatever. But the other thing I just want to point out is this is why we love our Spanily so much, because as you can see, Bagan Bark is over here supporting her fellow survivor, which means the world to me. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Maura DeLuca stopped in. Hey, Maura, if you watch back, because I think she's gone already. Judy. Oh, interesting. Julie says, I recently met the supply harem and flying monkeys. Ooh, do tell more. We'd love to hear that. Okay. Stacy LaGreco says, hi, I'm so glad I caught this. I've learned so much from your channel. Thank you, Stacy. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Welcome. Laura, hello. Stephanie says, how can I deal with my anxiety and running into my ex-narcissist? I've blocked him and changed my number, but I've heard from a friend that he is trying to get a hold of me. Okay. So this is my take on that. Number one, do your due diligence, which it sounds like you're doing. Make sure if you're worried about physical violence or anything like that, then definitely don't go anywhere alone for a while, or make sure you're in a well-lit place if you do. Number two, you did what you needed to do with blocking him and changing your number. I would make sure you have, you know, cameras or alarm systems or whatever, really good locks on your doors at your house. And outside of that, once you've done all the things you can do to stay safe, then you need to relax and know that you've done all the things you can do to stay safe. And now it's kind of out of your control. So you do what you can control, you handle that part you can control, and then you must breathe and not stay focused on what you can't control. Mm-hmm. He is right. I mean, he's out of your life. You can't have any control over what he does with himself. And in the meantime, instead of stressing about, oh my gosh, he's going to come back, he's going to come back, I'm going to see him, that's almost going to attract him to you, like on some level. So instead, instead of doing that, then just focus on your new life. It's so much more peaceful and it's safe, and tell yourself all the time, safe and I'm happy and I'm peaceful and everything's okay. You know, keep yourself in that state of mind, and before you know it, you'll really be there. It's a process. It's a mindset change that leads to actual change. Least thoughts.
Right. And again, learning skills to help with your anxiety, because anxiety is great in crisis. That kind of reactive, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, it gets the adrenaline pumping. It gets you moving. It gets the crisis handled, and it gets you like through a crisis, but you can't live there. because it doesn't actually help you in your daily life. It doesn't, it's not going to keep you safe, the anxiety. Right. So realizing that you can calm that part down and get it, if you can get it down, get your anxiety lower in the rest of your life, mm-hmm. it'll, then the baseline for your anxiety will come down when you have the fear kick in.
Yeah. And that's when, I was just going to say, that's when pattern interrupts can help, is in the moment of fear.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry about
that. No. And then mindfulness practices, I am constantly telling people that. So
Very helpful. Yeah. And I find that using pattern interrupt and then intentionally getting into mindfulness in like as the next step is really, really helpful. Like for in the moment incidents of anxiety. Yeah. Panic attacks, things like that.
Right.
Okay. Let's see here. Alicia says 10 years with narc wife, 6 months out, 2 years, no contact, struggling to leave the house to go anywhere besides work. Lots of fear and anxiety. I can relate to this. This is one of those things that happens to not every survivor, but many survivors. You go through it. And I think it's partially because you become emotionally exhausted and just the idea of even breathing around other people makes you tired, you know? And I think it's also, we have been isolated so frequently and so consistently by these people that we don't even really know anyone else. Oh, wait, somebody just joined the channel. Who was that? Tiffany Kidd, welcome, new member. Welcome to the inner circle. Make sure you check for the secret inner circle link to Queen Being on your members tab, because that'll show you a lot of perks. Thank you for joining, Miss Tiffany. Okay, sorry, back to Alicia. So Alicia's struggling to leave the house to go anywhere but work. Any thoughts for Alicia?
Struggling, but she's going to work. That's good.
Going to work, but.
It sounds like it also could possibly be something like where it's hard to find any joy anymore, you know? So reconnecting with really simple joy in the house, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, maybe on your drive to work, reconnecting with things you enjoy in life itself by just noticing the things a little bit, a little at a time. I think it's totally normal that PTSD has an overwhelm factor. Mm-hmm. And that, like Angie's talking about it, it's just overwhelmed. The world is overstimulating as it is, and it's overwhelming. So you know, not beating yourself up for that, but also pushing a little bit so that you know, maybe take a walk. Maybe.
Yeah. And if you can't take a whole walk, like go out on your front porch. Or
yes, I was going to say, to the mailbox, to the anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the trees.
Yeah. What I tend to find too is that a body in motion stays in motion. So usually like once I start moving towards something new or something different, I'm more likely to continue to do that. So, you know, if I feel stuck in the house and then I force myself. Oh, another thing that's huge that really helps me a lot is music, right? So if I, you know, pop in my earbuds on my Good Morning Beautiful playlist, which you can see at queenbeing.com/playlist. It's free. You can just look and see what the songs are. You can get your groove on, kind of, you know what I mean? And I have found that to be incredibly cathartic. Even like right before I got on this stream with Lise, I was like getting my groove on to my Good Morning Beautiful playlist because it makes me feel happy and upbeat and good.
Exactly.
So, works. Yeah. And somehow it makes me want to move when I don't want to move. It's crazy. Right. Music is powerful. Don't listen to sad songs or things that make you cry right now. Wait till you feel a little stronger for that. Carrie Ann's question is it possible that a narcissist would intercept mail regarding their daughter's medical appointments? And she doesn't know why anyone would do this. It's been very low contact for 7 months. I'm going to answer this one really quick because we are running out of time. I'm supposed to be somewhere else in 5 minutes, but we're going to get there. Yes, Carrie Ann, I do believe it's possible. And I believe the reason that your narcissist would do that is because they want attention or to upset you or force you to talk to them. I would check with the doctor's office and find out if he changed the address there or anything. And I would advise the doctor's office of whatever legal thing you have in place. If you're the person who's supposed to be getting the information, then you should get the information. And worst case scenario, have the doctor copy you and him on all the things if you must. But if there's any legal custody, any quick additions for that one, Lise?
No, I mean, that's it. I don't know what the situation would be otherwise. Mm-hmm. If he's stealing, I don't understand the scenario there. How?
He's stopping them from reaching her in the mail somehow, the medical information from the doctor.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that is possible if they're mailing it
it almost, right, unless he's stealing it out of your mailbox, which is in the United States a federal offense, but she said post, so she might not be United States. And I don't know what the laws are elsewhere because I'm not that up to date on that one. It is a federal offense if they're stealing it out of your mailbox in the United States, for those of you who are in the United States. It is also possible that he just went to the doctor's office and changed the address there to his. But outside of that, I would talk to the doctor's office and go from there. Put a camera on your mailbox too, if you need to.
Or maybe drive in and pick up the medical records that you need. Just tell them not to mail anything and just drive in and pick if it's not too far, you know.
Yeah. Hot mess mom. Yes, they believe their own lies. I mean, not really. Okay, that's a good question. Okay. So sometimes they do. I have actually watched narcissists lie and then literally convince themselves or appear to convince themselves of said lie and just insist on it. Like,
you can almost see it happening. You can almost see the brain, the like wheels ticking and the turning in the brain. And then suddenly you see them understanding it's a lie, and then boom, they like flip and they're defending the lie as if it's truth. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's so fast. It's lightning fast with them. I think they believe it.
Right. They kind of seem to. Yeah. And that's why I think, quite honestly, when they tell the lies, especially like during the love bombing phase, we believe the crap out of it, because in that moment, they really think they're saying something true, which sounds bizarre. But I mean, I've seen them pass lie detector tests with blatant lies because they.
Well, you have to remember it's a delusional disorder as well, right?
Yes. Carmela Epstein, who says, what happens if you try to speak to the other person in the triangle? Disaster. Okay. Here's what happens. So let's say you're the original supply. You have a new supply over here. You have the narcissist on their way over to the new supply. That's the triangle, right? So if you try to tell the other person, like, listen, this person's a narcissist. This person's a jerk. This person's going to abuse you, whatever you try to tell them. They'll cheat on you, whatever. That person's going to be like, yeah, right, crazy. You know why? Because the narcissist already told them you're crazy. They already told them a bunch of lies about you because they knew that you were going to try to talk to them, or they think that you might. And so in order to cover their tracks while they're doing their love bombing thing, they've already convinced that person that there's something wrong with you. You're obsessed, you're crazy, you're whatever. They will not believe you unless they're more than, say, you know, unless they're past the love bombing stage. They won't believe you. And if they are past the love bombing stage, they might be too scared to believe you. So, or to act on it at all. And it might actually benefit them to tell the narcissist that you said bad things about them, because then them and the narcissist have something to bond over. See, I would not in any way, shape or form bother to try to tell a supply. Let them come to you if they have questions. Otherwise, nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Thoughts?
If it's not a supply situation, sometimes triangulation can be a narcissist trying to hoover you through a flying monkey. Mm-hmm. And that flying monkey may also be your friend or, you know, like, I've heard of the scenarios where the other corner of the triangle, not the narc, will talk to the survivor and ask questions and do the thing where they're talking about the situation. And then they go back and tell the narcissist, oh, they're not mad at you.
Right.
They really care about you. So what does that do? Is it ups the hoovering? And then you end up. So talking to anyone that you know is going to get the information back to the narc is never a good idea.
No, it's not. Yeah. And you make a really good point about the triangle thing, because that's the other thing. Even someone, if you see yourself being triangulated with someone, you know, a narcissist using you and like your cousin or your mom or your sister or whatever thing, somebody you would never believe would do that to you, be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know for sure 100%, be really careful. And like Lee said, don't tell them anything that you don't want to get back to the narcissist. I'm wrapping up for now. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day, a part of my life. Thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Make sure you check out Lise at queenbeing.com/Lise. Meet her in the Span group. Go over to Life Makeover TV and subscribe so you can get a little extra support for live sessions over there. They're free. They're very similar to this, but, you know, just one person and not
a little
me.
Wackier. A little wackier.
A little wackier than me, you know, whatever you can imagine.
I got a little crazy.
It's good though. It's good. It's all good. People tell me really good things. So everybody, thank you so much. We will see you soon. Have a lovely, what is it? Friday. Have a lovely weekend.
Friday. Yay. Bye-bye.